Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
So, everybody got their Bibles? We're ready to go. This is week two in our series called Kingdom Healer. And last week I started to explain, if you haven't got it, you can go online to exchangechurchbelfast.com and catch up. Because what I said last week was this: I want to point you through this series, not to a series of facts about healing, but to about a healer. And his name is Jesus. This series is about an incredible God, an incredible Savior, an incredible work. And what we want to do is expand your view of who Jesus Christ is. We want to expand your view about the love and the grace of God, not simply fill your heads full of facts about healing. Because what I said last week was this: if we do that, we miss the point. So many Christians get wound up about issues and they go, well, I think this about the issue, I think that about the issue. And whilst debate is fine, what we can do is we can miss the Jesus behind everything. And I said that our context, before you look at the context of verses or before you look at the context of what this means in this chapter and that chapter, our context is this: God is a God of love. Jesus Christ and everything that he did it because he loved you. He always acts out of love for you. And if we miss that context, we miss it all. And so this series on healing, is it? No, it's about the healer. And we'll find out that healing comes from the healer. I said last week that it is always the heart and the will of God to heal people. That is this position, my position. It's the healing of this church. It's the position of this church. And I'm not going to back down on it. Healing is provided through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. The issue for me, though, is not that it is never provided or sometimes provided. The issue is that sometimes it's received and sometimes it's not. That is the real issue. And I said last week that the point for me is this: we do not get to create truth. You don't get to create truth in your life. The truth is a man. He's called Jesus Christ. He's alive today, sitting at the right hand of his Father. And your experience may be one thing, but that is not the determination of what truth is. And that's why so many Christians get into a pickle, get all wound up, get all upset, or just live lives that are completely and utterly void of kingdom power and experience. Why? Because whatever they think, whatever they felt, whatever they've lived is truth. And I talked about that last week and said, actually, that's not the way it is. So there we go. Do you ever struggle with change? Okay. Change in good ways, change in bad ways. Last week I talked about how we can take our experience and we project it back to God. And that happens in many different ways. And as you go through life, there are going to be many different factors that shape you and form you. That is why I said that we want to be people who are not living out of our experience all the time or living out of what other people think of us, but we're living out of our identity and who Jesus Christ says we are. In Ephesians 3, 17 through 20, Paul put it this way, that his prayer was this, that you, that's you and me, every day would become enlightened to the love of God, enlightened to who Jesus is, and enlightened to what he has done in you. Because here's the truth, whenever you become more enlightened to who Christ is, and you become more enlightened to his work, you start to live from that, and it trumps your experience. And instead of going, well, I feel this, what Paul says in Ephesians is, I want my prayer is that you become more aware, first and foremost, about Jesus Christ and his work. The world is consistently and constantly changing. People change, don't they? Circumstances change, situations change, feelings change. And it's one of the biggest issues that we then project onto God because we think that he's just like everything else that we have to deal with. And this is what I'm going to talk about this morning. Often how we relate to other people is exactly the same way. Sometimes people change for good, don't they? And sometimes they change for not so good. Have you ever found yourself thinking, flip, I never thought that boy would do that? No? I must have real bad friends. Sorry, guys, you know what I mean? Have you ever thought, flip, I never saw them turning into that. I always thought they were different. Anybody? Help me out. Throw me a bone here. Yeah, okay, so we know what we're talking about. That was going to be the shortest talk in the world. Thank you very much. But what about God? We can think that he's just like the world around us. And your experience might tell you that. You know, some people say, well, sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. And I can show you from experience why that is truth. And sometimes we think that it's because our experience is determining what God is like. But I want to tell you that the Word of God tells you something completely different. And here's the thing. You've got to really listen to what I'm going to say today, because the truth is that we have a God who never changes. Now, here, these are words that from the teeth out sound, yeah, I know what that means, Andrew. But I promise you this, a heart revelation of the unchanging nature of God will absolutely radically change your life. It will change your view of God. It will change your experience of God. And actually, it's one of the foundations that when we come to look at the whole area of healing, is so critical. Our God never changes. He's described as a rock. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important before we start to look at all the verses about healing. What is wrong with thinking? I mean, what is the big issue? That sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. Why is that such a big deal? Is this not just one of the ones where we can go, well, you think that, I think the other. Let's just agree to disagree. No, absolutely not. Do you know why? Because trust is trust. And if you have trust eroded in one area of your life towards God, it bleeds into every other area. You cannot isolate trust. I can't say that I trust Penny on a Monday, but Tuesdays, I'm just not so sure. Okay? I can trust her all, just for the record. She's very trustworthy. But here's the thing. It's like we think with God, well, when it comes to money, God, yeah, I've got that nailed. You're going to look after me. When it comes to healing, I'm not so sure. You understand that trust can't be divided that way. You either have trust, and this is what Jesus talked about. You either believe or you don't believe. You trust or you don't trust. And what we've tried to do is to break it down and say, do you know what? It's fine for me to hold a position that says God will not heal sometimes and still enter into the fullness of God. It's impossible. Why? Because Paul says that the point is to be enlightened to the whole love and the whole grace of God. And once you're enlightened to that, it means holding a position that sometimes says God does and sometimes he doesn't. It's just not possible. Why? Because it shows a basic misunderstanding concerning some of the most basic things about God. And in your life and in my life, we need to build on good foundations. So if your foundation up until now has been, well, I'm not so sure, I do trust, I don't trust, I have to tell you now, this is the time in this series, in this point, right today, to go, I'm going to start and build on right foundations. Because if you're wondering why you don't see the fullness of God, it's because sometimes what we're building on is so shaky. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. It's going to be up here on the screen. And this was written, and they're incredible verses. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let me throw this out, and it is no way to condemn, but one of the reasons why healing is not received today is that many of us are in two minds about whether or not God wants to heal or not. Is it God's will or not to heal? If we haven't got that nailed, you're very, very unlikely to ever see it manifest in your life. Why? Because if you're double-minded, you don't really receive anything from God. Is that me condemning you? Not at all. Whenever I understood this in my life, it freed me. It actually made me go, God, this is incredible. Now, it's not just about what you say. It's not just about what comes from the teeth out, as we say in Belfast, all right? You know, many people have this accusation against anyone in a church who mentions faith. You're labeled as name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. And I want to say this, that your words are, of course, extremely important, but they will never act as a substitute for what is actually in your heart. Real faith, pistis in the Greek, persuasion about the goodness and the love of God, is a heart issue. It's a condition that goes way deeper than your mouth. It's deep inside of you. It's that absolute persuasion on the inside that God is for you, that he loves you. And you know what? Whenever you speak, your words are simply to be an overflow of what's already deep inside. Your words will never cover something that's lacking in your heart. That it's not hocus pocus Harry Potter stuff, all right, where you just say it and it happens. God wants you to be really and utterly, completely persuaded that he is good all the time, that he loves you all the time, that whenever he acts into your life, it is always to bring you to more blessing and to more of the full life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10. That's why he's described as a rock. Deuteronomy 32:4 says this: He is the rock. His work is what? It's perfect. All his ways are justice. He's a God of truth with no injustice. He's righteous and he's upright. He is the rock. And whenever we can become persuaded of that, when our hearts are changed, when we have a revelation of God's love and grace, do you know what happens? Our words will start to follow what's actually in our heart. And when you come to the area of healing, that is critical. My experience has been this: far too many people approach this for like a formula. And they go, if I just say this, then it will happen. And then when they say it and it doesn't happen, they get all disappointed and they start to project back to God and say, well, maybe you just didn't want to move. And it's in every area of life. Maybe you just don't want me to be well. Maybe it's not your will for me to be whole. And you know what? I want to say it again, that I want you to have a full persuasion in your heart, not just of what you have to speak, but a revelation that that healing and health is God's will for you. Many religious people are going to tell you, don't bet on it. That's not what God's like. And I'm telling you this from the Word of God: whenever you start to get a revelation of who God is and what he's done and who Jesus is and his work, I'll tell you this, your words will start to follow. And whenever you start to speak out, it'll be from a revelation and a deep well inside of you that God is my healer, that he is my rock, that in the middle of a world that fluctuates and goes up and down with opinions and people and circumstances and situations, you have a rock that never moves. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is the same yesterday, today, and he will forever be the same. Do you know what theologians call that? Immutability, right? There's a big word for you. Immutability. What is that? What am I trying to say? Who knows? What I'm trying to say is this: it's really, really important when you're in a relationship with anyone to understand what they're like. If you don't understand that person, or let me put it this way, the points that you don't understand about people are normally the points where a relationship breaks down. Because there's misunderstanding, and what did he mean? When Penny was learning how to drive, I took her for one lesson, and then I quickly discovered about my beautiful wife that she couldn't tell her left from her right. All right? But she didn't actually tell me that. So we'd be driving along, and I'd be going, right, Penny, take the left. And she'd be going, I'll do it this way. Penny, go left. And she would go like this. And I'd be going, no, the other left. You know, that left. And then I noticed on the steering wheel, she kept her thumbs up. Because she used to suck one thumb when she was younger, and it's bent out of shape. So that's the only way my wife can tell her left from her right. Now, the fact that she's looking after your children this morning should not concern you, okay? In all other areas, she's perfectly normal. But I didn't understand that. So I used to say to her, Penny, left, 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 as buses would come in front of us. It ended up tears and snotters everywhere. And she said, I don't know my left from my right. And I was going, really? I married a woman who doesn't know that from that. But the point is this: as soon as I started to understand that about her, things became much better, and my dad took her for driving lessons. And we're still married to this day. But here's the thing. One thing that is clearly taught throughout Scripture, which I really want you to understand, is this: that God doesn't change. His mind doesn't change, his will doesn't change, and his nature doesn't change. That's the words that are used in Deuteronomy 32. The word picture in Hebrew in Deuteronomy 32 is this: this rock remains immovable even when everything else starts to move around it. It continually fluctuates, but you have a solid rock in the middle of it all that doesn't move. Let me tell you what God's like. He is not subject to any change in his essence or in his being. Really, Malachi 3:6 says this: I am the Lord, I do not change. No, do you know what that means in the original language? I don't change. There you go. I actually looked at it and thought, flip, it actually does mean that. There you go. All right. There's never been a time when God was not, and there will never be a time when God will cease to be. He has never evolved, he's never grown, and he's never improved. All that Jesus Christ is today, he has forever been, and he forever will be. I want to tell you that Jesus can't change for the better. Why? Because he's already perfect. And being perfect, he will never change for the worse. He's completely and utterly unaffected by anything outside of himself. Therefore, he can't improve, and he can't deteriorate. This is not like people that we have to deal with every day. People change, God doesn't. Numbers 23:19 puts it this way: God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? God is not like a man. Do you know what our experience is? People every day, up and down like a fiddler's elbow for the most part, isn't that right? Even in our most intimate relationships, husbands and wives. Any ever had a good day and then not such a good day? I don't know what that's like, but people tell me. And, you know, it's not in our house ever, really. 1 Samuel 15:29 says this, "And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that we should change, that he should change his mind." Folks, we've got to stop projecting onto God what we live with people every day. Why? Because it starts to undermine the whole basis of our relationship. I'm going to tell you why that's so important in a minute. Jesus is unchangeable in his nature, his perfection, his purpose, his promise, and his gift to you. He is holy. And because he's holy, he can't turn to evil. And because he's the fountain of light I've put here, he cannot be the cause of darkness. Have you ever sat with someone with cancer? And you tell me for 1 minute there's any light in that. Is that right? Have you ever watched somebody die of something not very nice? I have. And I tell you this, when people say, well, that comes from God, I tell you this, how can the very source of all that is good do that? How can the source of light bring darkness? Lightness and darkness can't coexist. Whenever you put Jesus into anything, he lights it up with a lightness and a purity which overcomes every bit of darkness. That's who our Jesus is. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Evil can't come from him. Why? Because he is love in his very essence. That's who our God is, and he never changes. In 1 John 4:8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God." Why? Because God is love. It's not that God loves. In his very essence, in his very nature, he is always acting for your good. Theos este agape in Greek. What that means is this: God, in his very nature, always makes a commitment to your best. He never changes. His love never changes. And that is why the thought that sometimes he acts one way and then sometimes he acts another way is completely inconsistent with who God has revealed himself to be in the Word. And so we've got to stop ourselves and go, do you know what? If my experience is that people go up and down and I've somehow thought that this is the way things are and God is almost the same, do you know what? Your experience is inconsistent with the truth revealed in Scripture. He never changes. Now, here's the really incredible thing. There is no inconsistency with God ever. The inconsistency lies with us. But you know what? Let me not condemn you in any way. See, as soon as you realize that actually God's the rock, he doesn't change. If I start to understand who he is, then I can fall under that every day. And it's actually more with me, not with God. That never condemned me whenever I heard that. It freed me to go, what a great God we have. And I want to learn more and have more enlightenment, more view, more revelation of this incredible work. So don't feel for 1 minute that you're missing something, that you're kind of, God's not kind of that happy with you or he's upset. I want to say this, get rooted and grounded in God's love. And whenever you're rooted and grounded in God's love, you understand this, that he will never change and go up and down. What security that will bring to your life. What security that will bring. That is called immutability. I've tried to make it as kind of straightforward as I can. But when it comes to healing, this is how it works, all right? Your name. Have you ever thought about why you're called something? I probably don't even have to explain this, but my name, Andrew, okay, in the original language, and I know you could probably guess this anyway, but it means manly, strong, it does, intelligent, sexy. Intelligent again, gorgeous. I'm actually making the last one I made up, but everything else is true. Whereas, you know, my best mate in the world, Aaron Boyd, do you know what? Aaron's name comes from the root meaning he who, do you know what I mean? Actually, he who wears dresses. All I'm saying is I don't get to make this up, okay? You go and check it out. And here's the thing, in the Word of God, in the Word of God, all right, God's nature, what God is like, his essence is revealed to us by the names that he's used, that are used to describe him. Each one reveals a facet of something about God, and everything that is revealed never changes. because it's his essence. It's who he is. So whenever God reveals something of himself in Scripture, what I've just spent 10 minutes describing is this. If God reveals it, that's the way it is. It never changes. How you experience it or not is up to you. But the fact that is that the rock never moves. Now, some of the things here are so incredible. If you have a revelation of the nature of God, it will change your life. Do you know why? Because our experience is this. People can act contrary to their nature. They can act contrary to what they speak. And they can actually act contrary to who God has made them to be. What I mean is this. As I stand before you today, I am perfectly as righteous and as holy as I will ever be in my spirit. And that's the bit of me that God has made you. Now, the truth is this. That is the same of you. But I know that I can live contrary to that. Even though God has done a work in my life, there are times where I can act contrary to what God has done in me. And you might have that same experience. But as people can do that, God never does. God's actions are always completely consistent with his nature, and it never changes. Do you see where I'm going with this? God always has been, and God always will be. And the way that God acts in your life will never be contrary to who he has revealed himself to be in his very essence. But the problem with this area is this. We think that God is like us. And at times, we may think that he's a healer, but there's times where he doesn't act that way. But actually, the word tells you this, that his nature is completely consistent. Jesus was the first person that ever lived that had everything in order. His core belief, his public belief, and his private belief lived out in his action. We've never experienced that. But that's what God's like. So if you have a revelation of what God's nature is actually like, you're going to be more clearly understanding how then he wants to operate in your life. Do you know why? This is why the order is so important. Understand who God is. Understand that he's loving. Understand that that never changes. And then you will start to see what is God and what is not. At the minute, some of us don't know whether it's God or not. You know, does God heal? Does he not heal? That person wasn't healed. Was that God? And what we have is this inconsistent view of God, whereas his nature flatlines, doesn't go up, doesn't go down, stays the same. So what we need to do is understand more of what he is like. And then we'll start to see that's God or that's not. Do you see where I'm going? Now, some of the incredible names of God I love, and I want to encourage you today to put these in your hearts and let them be a boundary around your life. So whenever the devil comes at you, you can say, do you know what? This is who my God is, and you're not coming across that line, Satan. I love the banner, Jehovah Nissi. God is your banner. You see it next to 17:15. And actually the word banner there means to glisten and to shine. And what would have happened in the old days is this. As the enemy would have come along to attack Israel, they would have lifted up a banner with a different facet of God on it. It's a talk I'd love to do at some stage. But the point is this. Whenever something comes into your life, lift up a banner of Jesus Christ over it. And say, do you know what, Satan? You might try to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my God is a banner over my life. His truth is a banner over my life. Who he is a banner over my life. And whenever the enemy comes, you know what? You just lift up the name of Jesus high. Jehovah Nissi, he is your banner. He is the one that sits above every situation and circumstance of life and said, you know what? So when the enemy comes, he sees who you are and whose you are, and he knows that he can't touch you because you have all the authority in Christ Jesus. It's going back to that last series. What about Jehovah Shammah, or Shabbah, as somebody said to me, all right? God is with you, Ezekiel 48:35. I want to tell you this, that God consistently, forever is the God who is with you. There's not one person in this room that has ever been out of the grasp of God. Do you know that? Today, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've done it with, or what you have brought into here. I want to tell you that God is with you. He loves you. He will never leave you. He has never left you. Why? Because as he reveals himself to be the God who is constantly there, that has never changed. You might have felt like it was different. You might have felt like, hold on, God, where are you in the middle of this mess? Where are you in the middle of my pain? And God says, I'm Jehovah Shammah. I have never left you. Receive that word today. There are people here thinking, God, you have no clue what's going on. And God says, you know what? I've never been away from you for one second. Why? Because I've revealed myself to be that way. Your experience might tell you something different, but understand this. I meditate on these, actually. I think about them every day. I say, God, thank you that you're with me today. That's who you've revealed yourself to be. You're with me in the everyday thing of life, from getting my kids up in the morning and dealing with my wife and doing church and friends and all that kind of stuff. Thank you that you're right there in the middle of it with me. And you'll never, ever be anywhere else. Jehovah Shammah, he's revealed that in his name. And his nature is always consistent. What about Jehovah Jireh? God's your provider, Genesis 22:14. Or Jehovah Jireh, God is also your provider. Think about it. That's an old one. Bunch. But there you go. I want to tell you here, there are people in here that need to know this morning, because you're thinking this, is God going to come through for me in the area of my money? God, I am in the shtick right now. I don't know what's going on. I can't see a way out. And you know what God says? In my very nature, every way that I'm going to act towards you and for you is because I am a provider in essence. So whenever I speak into your life, know this, that I'm never going to change. I'm never not going to provide. You're never going to be without. You're never going to live in lack. Why? Because it's in my very nature to make sure that you have everything that you need plus a surplus so that you can bless other people. That's my nature, and I'm not changing it, says God. Why? Because I've revealed myself to be your provider. Now, your circumstances and your bank balance and your business and your family may be telling you something else, but I want to tell you this. Meditate on the goodness and the love and the name of God in your life, and you will see it. Because why? He always will act according to his nature. That's why whenever we talk about giving, I do that because I'm a giver. Why? Because I know God in his very nature cannot act contrary to who he is. So whenever I give with a free heart, I know that he's gonna already have supplied everything that I need. Why? Because he can't do anything else. He will never break his word. He'll never break his promise. And he will never do what he said he will do, not do. Do you know? Get me? His nature and his action are always consistent. And what about this one? Exodus 15:26. I'll put none of the diseases, makala in Hebrew, which I've brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. This is why this series is called Healer. Because Jehovah is Jehovah Rophe. It implies spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. This is the point. Whenever God acts in your life, it is always to make you whole. Why? Because he's the God of wholeness. He can't act any other way. He's revealed himself to be, I am the God, and the word is used of a physician, who makes you whole. It's used 67 times in 62 verses, and it means this, that Jehovah Rophe or Rapha is the God of wholeness. It means in your spiritual life, in your physical life, in your emotional life, that God wants you whole. It's used the whole way through the Old Testament. And I've got loads of verses here that I'm not even going to mention. But here's the point. I want you to understand this, that in his nature and in his heart and in his will and in his action, God's heart for you is to be whole in every area, including your body. And he will never act in any other way. The name Rophe is a revelation of his character. And you know what? It never changes. He can't be a healer today and not a healer tomorrow. Why? Because this is who he is. And you need to get a revelation of that. It's a wee bit like a father's heart. You know what? Whenever I look at Ben, my son Ben is 7 years old, and he tends to hurtle towards things at a big rate of knots, as we lads tend to do. And what do I do whenever Ben bangs his head off the doorpost again? All right? What do I leave him there and go, huh, harden you, son? Well, sometimes I do. Joke. I pick him up. I cuddle him. I try to make it better. I try to take away the pain, and I don't leave him where he is. That's the father heart of God. If I know what that's like in the most simple things, God, who in his very nature is whole, will always act the same way as who he's revealed his nature to be. Sickness is something that we fight against. It's not something that we accept. Whilst it may be normal in life, it's not natural. While sickness may be normal, it is not natural for us. Instinctively, we fight against it. When I see it in my son and there's pain and he's hurt himself, do you know what I do? I pick him up and try to make it better. Why? Because instinct, this is not a Christian thing. This is a life thing. Go and look at hospitals today. People go and get treatment. They go to the doctor. They live in fear about their health. Why? Because instinctively we know this is not the way it's meant to be. Why? You were created in the image of God. He himself is whole. So you were created to be whole. And at a deep level, that is what God wants for you. And instinctively, what happens is we're put into this Christian religious culture that says, you know what? You know, maybe God doesn't want you well. Maybe God is bringing sickness. And I believe that every time we do that and every time we accept that, something inside of us dies when we're asked to accept that a loving father wants us sick. Why? It's just not right. Because in his nature, he's whole. In his nature, he's perfect. And that's what we want in our own lives. There's nothing wrong with it. I have yet to meet one person who felt ecstatic about being diagnosed with cancer. I've never met one person who was ecstatic about breaking their leg or having some disease in their body. Why? Because made in the image of God, made to be whole, that's who we were. That's who God created us. You know what? That is what God wills for you. And his nature acts in that way all the time. So that means whenever you come to pray about sickness in your life, do you know what? Understand that whenever you speak out, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rophe, my healer, it's about wholeness in your whole body and your whole life. See, the bigger question for me is this. It's not does God heal, but is he a God of wholeness? Many people are going around, does God heal? Wrong question. The real question is this. Do you understand God to be a God who wants you whole? Because if he wants you whole and you accept that, he will always act that way. Do you get me? That was a revelation in my life. It's like whenever I took Hope to get her, Hope's our baby, she's 5 months old, to get her injections, and the nurse was, you know, doing the two legs, and Hope absolutely gurned the place down. I mean, like, up to 11 on the dial in terms of shouting, and she screamed the place down. And do you know what happened? The midwife turned to us and said, you know what, she's never experienced pain before. It's the first time in her wee life that she's experienced pain. Because she got big needles stuck into her legs. And I tell you what, she was real offended. She really didn't like it. But more importantly for me, I really didn't like it. Why? Because I didn't want her to ever have to experience that. Why? Instinctively, I know that I was made for wholeness. I know that my daughter was made for wholeness. And pain and sickness and death is an enemy. And do not accept it. Why? Because your God is a God of wholeness. Once you start to get revelation on that, the question of does he want to act in your life to heal is irrelevant. Why? He will always act consistently with who he has revealed himself to be. People getting tied up on Isaiah 53, Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to cover all those verses, and I think you've missed it. What's your view of God and his nature? Once you get that right, all those questions answer themselves. Once you get a revelation of God's love and grace and what he's like, if you believe in a God of wholeness, you'll know that he will always act consistently to bring that healing into your life. That's why Satan, and I'm finishing right now, Satan has come against this truth about who God is, and the church has fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. Everything was created by God in wholeness. Genesis 1:31 said, at the end of it all, he went, flip, this is very good. God's view was this, it's very good. And the incredible thing is this, God creates something incredible. And then in Genesis chapter 3, and this I finish, and this is a great way of illustrating what I've been talking about. God creates everything really good. And he says, you know what? This, in today's language, he goes, this is brilliant. Look what I've done. It's good indeed. Okay, no bad in it at all. Created completely whole in body, soul, and spirit. That's the way that you were originally designed to be made. And here's the thing. In the deepest, darkest moment of history, we see this nature of God revealed for the first time. In Genesis chapter 3, whenever Adam and Eve mess up big time, okay, God comes along and he goes, what's happened? All right? Now, this is the darkest moment in the history of humanity. This is the point where it all broke. This is the point where it all fell apart. Whenever we took it on ourselves and Adam and Eve took it on themselves, and they basically messed the whole thing up for all of us. All right? And here's the darkest bit. When the wholeness that God had created was completely broken, completely destroyed, and sickness and death and all that stuff enters in. Now, what does God do in that point? Some of us think that whenever we're in the middle of our mess, sometimes we create the mess, sometimes it's created for us. Either way, when you're in a mess, some of us have a view that God goes, well, you know what? That's where you are. He could have come along to Eve and gone, well, do you know what? Good on you. Look what you've done. You've managed to mess up what I've created. And some of us have that view about God. But you see the nature of God revealed at the very start in Genesis 3. Because at the point where everything breaks down, and the point where there's total darkness, what does God do? He steps in and he gives a promise about Jesus. And he says, you're in the mess, but let me tell you right now at this point, at the point where it's broken, I'm going to heal you. He actually says to the woman, your seed will bruise the head of the one that has come to divide and to cause death and destruction. Do you see what I'm saying? In the middle of mess, in the middle of total despair where they've screwed up, God doesn't leave them in it. He says, I'm going to make you whole again. That's what he's saying to you at the minute, right now in this place, in the middle of your darkness, in the middle of something which is really difficult. That's the point where God steps in and goes, do you know what? I am going to give you Jesus and he's going to make you better. I'm going to send you the seed of this woman who will bruise the serpent's head. That word bruise means to overwhelm and to destroy. So at the point of utter destruction, at the point of darkness, you see this nature of God. He doesn't leave them that way. He doesn't say, well, good on you. It's your mistake. Now on you, get on with it. What he does is he says, this is my plan for wholeness, and I'm going to bring it back around for you in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, whatever you're in at the minute, God steps right into the middle of it and says, you know what? Look to Jesus. We have the benefit today of looking at the other side. In the middle of your darkness, in the middle of your sickness, in the middle of your death, in the middle of your pain, what does God say? He steps in and goes, look to Jesus. He did it right back in Genesis. Isn't that incredible? Why? Because his plan for you is to point you back to the one who will bring wholeness in your life. He'll bring wholeness in your life. That's God's promise to you. Understand this. I want the band to come up right now. And we're going to respond. But I want you to understand this. See, before we go down the line of looking at, because next week we start to look at the actual stuff about the nuts and bolts about healing. But that's all a moot point until we understand this. That if we approach God in any other basis, then he wants to make me whole. And he wants to make me well in my body and in my soul and in my spirit. Then we're actually acting double-minded. Because God always acts consistently with who he has revealed himself to be. If you've never heard that before, take time this week to think about it. Because that's why you're probably up and down like a fiddler's elbow. Sometimes receiving, sometimes not. We need to nail that God's nature is always for you to be whole. And understand that that's who he's revealed himself to be. Greater things have yet to come.